Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Hey, look what I did.
You said it, man.
Do not throw your Lane Kiffin shirts away. Bring them down to Hound Dogs. We'll give you 20% off of another shirt, and we're going to send all those shirts that you don't want, that you want to burn, down to Hades to the children.
Good. Good.
You go back up on the hill.
Guilt is more commonly felt by the innocent than the culpable.
Gong and out, Vic. Petros and Money. AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. As your home of the Dodgers, you can hear Dodger baseball right there at that same spot. You just click on the AM 570 LA Sports icon, and you got Dodgers Rockies tonight. 7:10 p.m. first pitch. Dodgers on deck starts at 6, and it's not just about baseball. It's about special things that can happen inside that ballpark now that fans have returned that you won't want to miss.
Fans are back in the basketball arenas, even Staples Center. We had Don McLean on last hour. A big thank you to the Snake Killer for joining us, and you can podcast that on the iHeartRadio app. Clippers are in Philadelphia tomorrow to take on the 76ers. Tip-off is at 4 on AM 1150. And tonight at Dodgers on Deck with Tim Cates, David Vasse is going to interview Matt Kemp. So that is something that everybody can look forward to. Not to mention the exciting puck drop between the Kings and the Avs.
That's going
to
be great.
At 6 o'clock. They're in Colorado, so don't expect Don Martin in the stadium on camera for the Colorado versus L.A.
Hey, boss, I saw you on the glass. It was pretty cool. Reopened Staples Center. You got seats right there on the glass.
Sackett gave me tickets. Well, I sat with Alfred Williams.
Okay, but just saying, I just saw you on TV. Not a big deal.
Looked I like was working.
Just looked like
big part of my life was KOA, and you're trying to mock it.
Nah, I'm just saying I saw you with some pretty sweet premium seats.
I was there last night with some very important clients. That bald gentleman is very important.
All right.
He runs 7,200 Kia dealerships across the Western United.
I'm just saying, I saw you on TV. In some pretty sweet seats, and it looked like you were having
I'm the GM of a major radio station.
I would expect you to be there.
And Fox Sports Radio.
Kings are our partners, right there on the Kings Audio Network. We get it. You're going to probably have sweet seats. Not a big deal. Just saying, I saw you. Looked like you were having a great time.
You didn't see me. I wasn't having fun.
I
don't like this coronavirus. Everybody's indicted for having a good time.
It was you and David Howard and
Dave Weiss.
Dave Weiss was there.
Philippe.
I mean, I saw them all. You guys were all laughing. Y'all had your Kings jackets on.
I wasn't laughing that hard. Don't tell me when to have a good time. I'll tell myself when to have a good time, and I wasn't.
I was surprised I was able to pay attention, too, because of the excruciating pain I was in, as you described I would be, with my second vaccination happening earlier.
It's going to get you, Pete. Yeah, I got my second shot today. Oh, it'll get you tonight. It's going to get you. How's it going to get me?
It's going to pinch your nose shut. And then hold your mouth.
Okay.
That's how it's going to get you.
It's time for the final hour fun fact, everybody.
It's fun in effect. It's the hour that. Three.
Fun facts. Fun facts.
And then when you wake up by going, it's going to be like, I got you. Woody Harrelson was a horrible bowler. And we just talked to Rob Stone about that 7-10
big
split.
Big bowling week.
So it's been a big bowling week.
That was a huge story that Kate's mined out.
It's a good one, Cates. It's a hell of a lot better than the nacho story. Woody Harrelson was a horrible bowler. They brought in professional coaching for Kingpin. Didn't work. He needed a stand-in because he was such a bad bowler.
Well, they had him with a fake arm anyway.
Bill Murray could really bowl.
Oh, yeah. Big Earn.
As a matter of fact, Big Earn McCracken bowled those three tournament-winning strikes consecutively in the same take of Kingpin.
Oh, beautiful. And he's freaking out.
And they said that's why the crowd was freaking out so hard.
And he just kept holding up the thing, begging with the ball, the beautiful rose and the clear ball.
In the same take.
I pulled out way early on.
All three strikes.
Man, I love Kingpin.
It's the best.
But there are some more base jokes in there that I just can't take anymore. My gentle countenance. I don't like seeing Randy Quaid blowing it out of the urinal. I don't like that thing. Yeah. It really knocks something loose up there. Quick hits, everybody.
The PMS quick hits. I make it quick, y'all. Oh, yeah.
Well, it is Jackie Robinson Day across baseball. It's no nacho cheese flying everywhere, but it has been 74 years since he broke the color barrier. Yes, that is us virtue signaling.
Day of celebration. We're your home of the Dodgers.
Yeah, instead of talking about nachos. My friend Wally said that...
Yeah, nice job, guys.
Mm-hmm. Instead, we're talking about 1947 with the Brooklyn Dodgers and the color barrier. Here's the acceptance speech that Jackie gave at his final public appearance on October 15th, 1972, at Game 2 of the World Series between Cincinnati and the A's in Cincinnati. He died 9 days later of a heart attack at his home in Connecticut. And you look, you say, oh, you guys are going to play Don Newcomb again. Oh, you're going to play George Raveling. No!
This is it.
New audio, and here it is.
I would just like to say that I was really just a spoke in the wheel of the success that we had some 25 years ago. And personally want to say thank you to a great captain, a guy who was the leader of our ball club and who really set the pace in many, many areas. Pee-wee, thanks so much for being here today. I would like to also say that I would be a real, real pleasure if Mr. Rickey could have been here with us today, but to the members of the family, my entire love and gratitude for the things that he's done over the years. And I also want to say how pleased I am that my family can be here this afternoon and to thank baseball for the tremendous opportunities that it has presented to me and also for this thrilling afternoon. I'm extremely proud and pleased to be here this afternoon, but must admit I'm going to be tremendously more pleased and more proud when I look at that third base coaching line one day and see a black face managing in baseball. Thank you very much.
And again, sadly, he would die just 9 days later. And on Jackie Robinson Day, the Dodgers will host the Colorado Rockies tonight. Julio Urias and Austin Gomber will be your pitching matchup.
The Angels are 7-5 on the season, and they're off today. They host the Twins tomorrow night at the Big A.
Lakers, 34-21 overall, 5 seed in the West. And tonight is the first game that fans will be back in the arena at Staples Center. It's Celtics-Lakers. There are a
host. You better
host.
Go to a different area to eat.
Yes, there
with
are
all
a
the
lot
rest of the sheep.
Of rules and
you got to go over there to graze, and then you got to make your way back here.
No bags are allowed.
Cheer in your heart.
So whatever you have on your person is all you can bring in. Just kind of make sure you hit up staplescenter.com or something to.
Now they're going
to
pay me to go there and have them prod me around and tell me what I can and can't do.
No, they're just going to tell you to stay home. Hey, you don't like it. Stay home. There's a line, a city long, that wants to get in here. And then they come up and they're like, what? I can't bring this in? Nope. All right, I guess I'm out. Before you know, they're down to 2,000 people.
Guess what? Look behind you. Figaro is filled with Laker fans exactly who right. want to come in and cheer with their hearts, not with their mouths.
I saw on Twitter, because I was up late, Adam Oslin tweeted, at follow Adam A, can't sleep. Clip Nation.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Who's up with me?
Reggie Jackson.
Clips are winning.
It was a great night.
A hell of a night. Big comeback last night against the Pistons. And the East Coast roadie continues tomorrow against the Sixers with a 4 p.m. tip.
It was a great game. Reggie Jackson was emotional afterwards.
Was he really?
The Czar, the Telestrator was on it. Seaman was on it. Christina Pink and McClain. Can't go wrong, dude. But, I can't sleep is a little...
Clip Nation.
It's like, go to bed.
Insomnia, who's up with me?
You know how many people responded to that?
I'm going to go with... Two.
Ha! I'm up with you, bro.
What was the exact, since you have it up, what was the exact wording?
Somebody replied, yep.
No, what did he write?
Oh, he wrote, can't sleep, you up, hashtag Clipper Nation.
Can't sleep.
I mean, I know you beat the Pistons, and there was no, you know,
so much adrenaline. It was a huge comeback.
The five starters weren't really there, and all that. But can't sleep is kind of
can't
sleep is kind of like we just won it all.
Like let's talk,
or like UCLA won that game in overtime. Like can't sleep. Okay, I could see Cates doing that, and us mocking him.
Let's kick it around, man. What if Danny Manning never hurt his knee? What would have been?
Like, yeah, what are you supposed to do if, like, staying up, what are you supposed to do? Like, engage him in some way?
What if Brian Williams never became Bison Dele and stuck around?
What if they never picked Olo Candy?
Right. What if Loy Vaught was on his team today?
Can't sleep, Clipper Nation. You up? UCLA's Mark Jarman has been selected as one of the five members of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee. The UCLA AD is always on the committee.
Always.
Represent the Pac-12 Conference on the Men's Basketball Selection Committee for the next 5 years. If he wants to know what it's like, he can call his predecessor, Dan Guerrero.
Who was on it every year. And USC got off.
Yeah, because the NCAA has no more teeth.
Andy Enfield was able to thread that needle. It cost Sean Miller his job, but Enfield's still around.
Look, USC's only got the $200 million settlement with the... really creepy gynecologist. They were involved in the Varsity Blues. Well, the most involved in the Varsity Blues of any major university.
Sounds like most universities to me. What else you got?
And they were implicated in the FBI basketball thing.
What else you got? Come on.
That's a trifecta.
Whatever. Let me know when the dean of the med school is blowing lines off a hooker's chest.
Well, I don't know what her chest was like. What kind of surface are we talking about, Matt? I know he was doing lines.
Let me know when that happens.
Does it have to be on her chest to be a big deal?
Let me know when the dean of the med school was blowing lines with an escort. Then that would be a real travesty.
Well, that would be a travesty. But having her overdose and then him taking her to the emergency, they're like, I think she's going to be okay. He's like, all right, let me take her back to the hotel and keep partying. I'm a billion-dollar guy, you know?
You want med school funding? I'm the guy.
$1 billion?
Chop it up, sweetheart. It's time for another round.
You ever been to a boutique hotel in Pasadena? I'm worth a lot of money. Yeah, I know you're just a hooker from Huntington Beach, but I'm going to show you the ropes. Show you how to blow a line off your chest.
Hot rails!
We'll be back with more PMS, some hot rails and three things Thursday next.
Got an attitude of everything I ever wanted. I got an attitude of need.
This is Petros and Money.
PMS.
With LA Sports. Now.
Welcome back. Petros and Money Show is happy to be with you. We are giving away right now the very second $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. If you like award-winning beer, you can join the BJ's Brew House Beer Club at BJsRestaurants.com/beer club. BJ's. What should we do? Caller number one for the amount of nacho guy.
Well, there's five letters in the word nacho.
All right, let's do that. Let's do five letters in the word nacho. There's got to be some nans, Matt.
Roll it.
One, two, three.
This is Three Things Thursday on PMS.
Three things. No, it's Nance. NFL. The full Nance. I mentioned this yesterday, I think, but I'm sure I'll mention it many times more before the draft rolls around. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I will be doing post shows on all NFL digital platforms and NFL Network. They will be post-round wrap shows with our friends Bucky Brooks and Lance Zierlein. Of course, we know Bucky, former scout with the Panthers and Seahawks. He's been doing it with NFL Network over 15 years now. Lance Zierlein, son of a longtime offensive line coach. Media scout writes all the profiles and bios of every single player that will be drafted and probably some 300 that won't be drafted.
And the godson of a Servite quarterback, Steve Berline. the relation between Berline and Zerline.
Like a mom, very dad, interesting. Cousin. Yeah, very strange.
It's a long line.
They didn't like having their name start with a Z. And we're like, you know, it's really uncomfortable for the kids. They take attendance, they're the last name he mentions.
You're at the end. You're either at the front or the end,
so we decided
and you
to
lose
to the
interest.
But we besmirched the family name, so we were ostracized for a while. Well done, NFL, when it came to booking the music to kick things off in a city that houses the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The draft, of course, is now a road attraction. They go from spot to spot. It was supposed to be in Las Vegas last year prior to the pandemic. The year prior to that, it was in Nashville on Broadway. A million people turned out. I have gone on the road before to see it in spots like Chicago where millions of people turned out, and they are back to doing it on location. I don't know how many people are going to be admitted, but they're going to have an outdoor stage. And if you've never been to Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns Stadium is basically right next to the Hall of Fame.
Just the best.
Right there on the banks of Lake Erie.
Going to have a time.
Beautiful view. I mean, it's
just
it
like
really
when
is
they had
glorious.
The Republican convention out there.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's wonderful.
John and Ken and Sweet James are out there in a Motel 6.
It was really great. I mean, it really is a vibrant downtown community. They're going to build a giant stage right between the Brown Stadium and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they tapped Kings of Leon to play the pre-draft festivities.
New album out.
Pretty cool.
Panned by Pitchfork. But Pitchfork pans everything. But yeah, the brothers follow Will, and then the cousins. They're back, Matt. And it's going to be better than Miley Cyrus doing the NCAAs. I mean, there's that. You see the mark.
Well, that's pretty easy to top.
And, you know, I got nothing against Miley Cyrus.
No, it's just a very
she's
awkward
here, a Toluca Lake person, you know, but
uncomfortable performance. I am anxious to see, and I don't know if
better
it'll
than
be
Fergie.
Our friend Kyle Brandt, or if it'll be Kay Adams, or our friend Peter Schrager, one of the Good Morning Football crew that gets to interview Kings of Leon after their performance.
Caleb!
Will perform for free, I would assume, because
Nathan!
Of the publicity.
Nathan!
But I am anxious to see and hear whether or not they say, you know, I liked a lot of your earlier stuff before you guys went mainstream.
Yeah.
Just make it real
see,
uncomfortable.
See, Schrager, dude. Youth and Young Manhood. You ever think you'll get back to that album?
Real uncomfortable for them when they're playing a free show for, I don't know, let's say maybe your radio station at Christmas, and you decide to put them in that particular You know, I really liked your early stuff a lot more when it was sort of less mainstream. Now, I guess we probably wouldn't be here playing your K-Rock show if we didn't make something that was more mainstream for you guys to package and put on the air. So, thanks for that. Way to go. Good question. They have also tabbed...
Did I ask him that?
No, Nicole Alvarez.
Oh!
Why would you ask him that?
I don't know. Did we have those guys on?
No, Nicole Alvarez.
I was trying to think.
Asked them backstage right before their performance... What led to this more mainstream style of music? Because I really liked your old indie stuff a lot more.
See, I wouldn't have done that, Matt. Even though I do like Kings of Leon's old indie stuff much more.
Sure.
If we had the Brothers Follow Will on.
We'd be thankful.
We would celebrate the hell out of their crappy new album.
Damn right we would.
And then we'd throw it in the trash when they left.
And trash them on air. Like Jed the Fish did to Nickelback when they were on the shuttle going back to the hotel.
You think Schrager wouldn't commit that kind of sin?
You never know.
He's not that dumb.
He's a killer's guy.
He likes all their new stuff.
They have also tabbed, and again...
Are they flying Nicole out to Cleveland?
A tip of the cap to the NFL. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Ann Wilson. To sing the national anthem.
Yeah, she's on a hot streak since the Lincoln Center Led Zeppelin performance. She really killed Stairway.
Special woman.
And she's been on the show.
Exactly right. That will get going 2 weeks from today, Thursday evening, right around 4 or 5 p.m. Kings of Leon, probably 4 p.m.-ish, if you want to hear their new music from their new record that was panned by Pitchfork.
Pitchfork said it was terrible.
That'll be the first round. Rounds 2 and 3 will follow on Friday, and then 4, 5, 6, and 7 on Saturday.
But they love the Sufjan Stevens 5-album instrumental set that
sure.
just came out.
Well, that's mainstream. It's easily digestible. Second, draft-related, it is mock draft season. And by that, I mean your highest click rates in all of sports are not going to be NBA box scores. Now, today is a different day than most other days because a baseball landed on a plate of nachos.
It's really hard, Matt.
They sent cheese flying over.
It's hard for
an individual shirt.
Really hard for me to muster the same excitement that I usually find.
Did you just say mustard the same excitement? Because that's what Joe Davis was joking about. He's like, is it mustard?
You know, maybe it's a nacho day to talk NFL.
Yeah! Normally, mock drafts where they're not a baseball that landed on a tray of nachos.
This would be a big day.
Would be, it's every day, probably a month out.
Collins got his out.
Right, and then Bill Ryder's got his.
Do you do a mock draft?
I used to have to do four.
I remember that.
Every year.
But do you still have to?
I do not.
That's a blessing.
It is. It is a big blessing. And
because nothing could be dumber.
No.
That's when Fox asks me every year, like, hey, give me your top 10. I'm like, who's in the top 10? Who do they got? What's on the AP? Who says what?
People love it.
We got Clemson.
They want an OP. You got to give them your top 10.
Alabama.
That's what people want. Petros, you know why they want it?
State, I guess.
There's a reason why they want it. You idiot. That's why they want it.
And then Brando, you know, gets on and starts arguing. You don't know why what I...
What are you, you dumbass, telling me who's going number five to the Bengals? They're not taking Kyle Pitts. It's the stupidest thing I've ever read.
So the mocks are out?
The mocks are out. And which player my team is going to select in each and every round is important to me. And I don't care what you think, because I've, and this is me speaking as the fan, I've done the research.
I saw you doing some fighting it out with some of those Charger blogs yesterday,
Matt.
I saw you mixing it up on Twitter. No, it didn't look like you were, and Vasse pointed it out to me. I was sitting across the street at the Whole Foods with Vasse.
Look at what he's doing.
He goes, Matt's mixing it up with these guys about the draft.
I like the Chargers hype. I like the Chargers pulse. I like the Bolt beat. I like the Bolts from the Blue. I like the Guiltiest Charge podcast, guys.
I like Imperial Beach Death March. That one is my favorite. Charger! That is my favorite Charger blog.
I like them all. But it is important to recognize, and maybe I'm wrong.
That's a good F1 team name, too. Imperial Beach Death March.
Not a bad idea. Figure to the sky.
You don't like what they're... I got loved ones.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're committing... The amount of time
maybe you are, Matt.
That the professionals are committing to this.
You were wrong last year.
It was horribly wrong.
And you didn't commit the amount of time that professionals committed to it.
No. But I always point out regularly, and I think it's important to do it now, here in this space, 2 weeks out, because now, you know, you're going to start getting, they're going from single shot to multi-round. It's going to be a spray.
Well, yeah.
Of mock drafts. And you're going to get 5-10 a day of these things.
We've got to make sure that we are showing our legitimacy and know that we understand, you know, the changes and the movement in these mock drafts. We're not just talking about friends scooping cheese off their friends' sweatshirts.
No, that's not what
this
we
is
do
important
here.
Stuff.
This is important stuff. Predicting which player that you have absolutely no idea how their career is going to turn out, if they will be drafted into the correct circumstance, if they can even make it to rookie camp without, I don't know, getting hurt or getting arrested.
Fall into a LeBron tar pits.
Look at Laramie Tunsil.
Never be heard from again. You know, you're like that little elephant. Then the elephants are on the side, the mammoths. They're like, oh, that one's gone.
No, it's over.
That happened. You know, I mean, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
How about that guy that tried to get into the Yosemite Hot Springs? His body decomposed in 24 hours.
Oh, he fried like a freaking ant.
That's it, man. Anything can happen. Laramie Tunsil was supposed to be a top 5 pick. Next thing you know, his uncle posts a picture of him smoking weed out of a gas mask, and he slides into the teens.
And who hasn't?
Right?
Yeah. Cast the first stone if you haven't strapped on the bong gas mask, kids. You all have.
When I, in my professionally trained scout's eye, was tabbed to do mock drafts, I did the same thing everybody that I asked for their expertise when doing mock drafts did. Hey, man, we're going to make you do like 4 of these. So you got to do some crazy stuff in there. You got to put it, you know, you got to have one wow pick, and you got to think about number 4 when you're doing number 1, because number 4 can't look like number 1.
Wait, are you saying a mock draft is not how the draft is going to turn out? Is that the NAN here?
I am saying that mock drafts are so wildly popular that you have to have some sizzle.
You got to make a splash.
Yes. Yeah. You can't just put O-lineman.
Right.
Interior D lineman. Yeah. Oh, they need a guard. They're going to take a guard.
Yeah, they're in the market for a guard. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, the Dolphins are taking a quarterback? Well, why not? I'm on the front page, not Collins talking about me. No, I'm looking at Lance Zierlin, and he's got the Dolphins taking Justin Fields. We got to get him on the show.
Yeah, what is this? How do you see this? And you go, it worked. And then at your next mock draft, you have the Dolphins taking an interior line.
Hey, look.
I get it now, Matt. I'm picking it up.
Full disclosure here. Full disclosure. I got, you know, every year on NFL Network, we do the big mock draft special with all the NFL Network personalities. And every year I get tasked with making the pick on TV for the Chargers now. And if I just take Rashawn Slater as a tackle, that's going to get like 5 seconds. If I get crazy, then I'm like, you know what? Microdiscectomy be damned. We're taking Caleb Farley, the corner. He's a unicorn. You don't get guys that are 6'2 and run 4.2 240s. You kidding me?
How much longer out will that sentence be out of your mouth by the time they cut you off and fire you immediately?
No, I think it'll create the sizzle.
Yeah, it might, but that wouldn't be the pick, Matt.
You know, we don't care about back injuries. Those aren't a big deal.
Like, are you announcing the actual pick, and you're going to try to screw the Chargers over and pick a different guy, Matt?
No, this is just...
Is that what you're going to try to do?
This is kind of like last year.
Try to go up there and pick, like, because that's what you would have done last year.
Well, last year...
If you were doing the pick, and they were like, pick Herbert, you'd get up there and be like, is Tua still available?
Last year on this same television show, Herbert was available at 6, and I did pick Isaiah Simmons and made the splash, and it was the 5-minute segment on the TV show. What do you mean? They're clearly taking
Hey, well, Matt,
you know, it's not every day you see a guy with this kind of size speed ratio. Defense is just as important.
You know, it's a crowded field.
Sizzle.
In the draft world, and the mock draft world, excuse me. It's a crowded field. It's just like reggae dancehall. It's like you got to do something like the guy who put goat horn surgically placed onto his head.
That's what Caleb Farley at 13, when I do the TV show in like a week, that's what it is. That's my horns.
Okay. Harry Toddler. That's the name of the dancehall artist who has goat horns.
Harry Toddler?
Harry Toddler.
You know what? Maybe I'll work that in. I'll go in a very Harry Toddler twist of fate. The Chargers at number 13 select.
I don't think you can get more obscure.
But those who know will know.
Oh, it'll be huge.
That's awesome.
They'll love it in Jamaica. They'll love it. The Chargers contingent in St. Mary's, Jamaica will love it.
Right?
All right, so we waiting for your mock draft?
I have no mock draft. I'm simply pointing out to people that are trying to go after the mock drafts. How dare? Because that's how this all started. One of the blogs wrote, Jalen Waddle to the Chargers at 13. Maybe if Tom Telesco wants to make an awful pick, that's what he'll do.
I saw that. That set you off. You working.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got a great track record.
That's what he'll do. If that's the guy.
If that's their third board, that's who they're going to pick.
That's who they're going to take.
And you're going to have to deal with it, Bolts beat.
That's how this thing works. Well, I'd much rather have Darisaw. Really?
Yeah.
Because why? You evaluated all of his tape. You're on that guy. Oh, I just like his length. Come on. This is what we're really doing. They got freaking 600 names that they've got on some giant board, cross-referenced with a backboard and a sideboard and a character board and a long-shot gamble board.
Maybe it's Cleveland, Matt, but you just can't get me excited about the NFL draft. Not the day after.
This will be the year.
Not the day after a guy got a nachos of cheese splashed everywhere.
Poor planning on my part.
Terrible. But you can't do anything about it.
No.
It's like Justin Turner's golf tournament after Kobe crashed. We're still going to do it. We sold all this stuff.
And we're going to show up and be part of that broadcast.
So, welcome to the golf tournament. How'd you play? Eh, pretty good. Tough about that crash, right? Right around the road there. Almost still see the smoke plume.
Yeah. So you still want us to be here?
Very awkward.
It was.
You know, when the nachos splash, it's like, well, what are we going to talk about tomorrow?
Nachos.
We'll be back with your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day in the City of Hope Dodger pregame.
Petros and Money. Available on the free iHeartRadio app. Now.
Can you believe that a baseball hit a thing of nachos?
It was the highlight of my evening last night. Getting in my car late. I had to flip sides of the street. Street sweeper day. Thankfully, I remembered, so I don't get that ticket.
Nobody likes a ticket.
And as I'm flipping that bitch, here's Dave. And apparently... Nobody's ever seen a ball out of a plate of nachos!
Yeah!
Look at social media! Get over it!
Get his ass, Dave. Social media, Dodgers social media official account, Nacho Average Night.
Right? I love puns! I love them! Get me the Nacho Man.
Podcast, and I need him. You could podcast... And hear Fred from way earlier.
Yeah. So what was it like when the ball hit the nachos?
It was an eventful night at Dodger Stadium, Matt.
Sure was.
Who knows what's going to happen tonight? We're just moments away from
sitting. I'm working, all right?
Matt, would you do the dead guy, please?
It's an annual.
Before we get fired.
Happy 131st to Percy Shaw, born in Halifax, Yorkshire. Pops James Shaw worked at a local mill. Raised in Boothtown, where Shaw would live his entire life.
Boothtown? Boothtown?
He started work as a laborer in a cloth mill at the age of 13, bounced around doing unskilled labor. Before joining his dad in a new business venture, repairing small machine tools used in munitions production during the First World War. When Pops died, around 29, he started his own small business as a road contractor, repairing roads, and that would be his calling, the road. But Shaw was inventive.
Like the actual road.
The actual road. Shaw came up with the cat's eye for lighting the way along roads in the dark. Those little reflectors that are cemented into the road where there are no street lights was his creation. How did he come up with it? Driving down the difficult Queensbury Road, which had a very steep drop and curve on one side. And as he was making that turn, his lights caught a cat on the fence. And the eyes reflected his headlights back to him, allowing him to take a corrective action and remain on the road. In 1934, he patented his invention. Based on the 1927 reflecting lens patent of Richard Hollins Murray, a year later, Reflecting Road Studs Limited was formed by him to manufacture the devices. Sales were initially slow, but he got the approval from the Ministry of Transport. And then the Nazis. Blackouts during the Second World War. And they really needed those cat eyes.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
I mean, otherwise, you're going to be walking around in the dark, and you're going to be constantly bombed.
You're going to look like Toonches out there.
You're still going to be constantly bombed. But now you'll have a better idea of where you're going.
The cat's eye will guide you home, so maybe you get bombed at home instead of on the road.
Well, there will still be an unbelievable amount of bombs falling, and you will live in utter paranoia for years.
He was pumping out more than 1 million road studs a year that were exported all over the world.
Well, think of the comfort it gave people during World War II when the bombs were falling.
Right? You know what? At least we've got these cat's eye to help guide us home.
Bugger! This is so much better.
I'd rather die by the blast of a bomb than falling off a cliff in me car. He went crazy later in life. He lived in a home which had no carpet furniture and 4 televisions running constantly.
Nice.
BBC One, BBC Two, ITV.
And they're all running the Prince Andrew Memorial. All of them.
They're still running.
No, can we please? I have some knock it on the head with this alternate programming.
The only luxury he afforded himself with his immense wealth was a Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Ooh.
Which makes sense. He loved the road, so why not get perhaps the finest car? Made. Never married, died at 86 in the exact same town where he lived for all but 2 years.
Boothtown?
Boothtown, Halifax.
This is also a British guy beating out the drummer for the Black Keys, Pat Carney, who has been beating the drums at the Cleveland Indian games. Are they not?
It's pretty cool.
Are they still the?
They're still the Indians.
He hits the drum.
Wahoo. Well, he's gone Yahoo. He's been committed. But they're still the Indians.
I still see Chief Wahoo's face all over the place. You can't erase him like you put out a cigarette. You're going to pop up again like whack-a-mole with that smiling face.
I had a couple of those caps when I was a kid. Who didn't?
Back in the day?
Right.
A British dude, Matt. Brian Muir is 69 years old.
Ah, 69.
You know, this is a really...
What?
This is a great gentleman. And you're going to make it about oral sex at the same time.
Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm going to do. You're welcome.
Are you done talking about the profane things?
We'll see.
I don't think that's okay, Matt. This guy's a really honorable man.
Okay.
British dude, so you know he's polite. He's going to ask before he just goes right into the 69.
That's right.
And he became a film sculptor. He is the guy behind the sculpting of the helmet and mask of Darth Vader.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Matt, Vader's helmet. Now, he didn't do the Stormtrooper helmet, but he did the armor.
Okay.
I didn't do C-3PO's face, but he did the suit.
Okay.
But he is the man behind Darth Vader's helmet.
Is there a more iconic piece of headwear in cinema history?
I mean, I love a Cylon Raider, but the answer is no.
No.
He worked a lot for Yorgo Lucas. Very prolific in film sculpting, even beyond Star Wars. But like you said, Matt, you ain't going to outlive the Emperor's March.
Top of the Pops.
He created the Ark of the Covenant for Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's him.
That's pretty cool.
He built the Space Jockey for Alien.
The Space Jockey?
I think that was their ship.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
I was like, was there like a little dude that hopped on the alien?
Hey! No. Like, I think it's like a... He is a cult hero and has written 3 autobiographical books about Vader, Stormtroopers, and Star Wars. Like, about how he built the stuff. I guess people are really interested in it.
In Star Wars? That's crazy.
He wrote a book about like what it was really like in 76 when they were making the movie. And he has sculpted on almost every movie imaginable since he still works. It's been a 48-year career as a star in this genre. He has worked on everything from The Little Shop of Horrors, a bunch of Bond films, including Octopussy, Willow, one of our favorites.
Willow, you are great,
Matt Martigan.
Named my dog after the film. So inspired by it.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Okay.
So still working. Comic-Con legend. You go to Comic-Con in Stuttgart.
You're going to stand in a long line to get that man's autograph.
To see Brian Muir? Absolutely. So the inventor of the helmet of Lord Vader, Brian Muir, is your alive guy. And it's time for the City of Hope Dodger pregame. City of Hope physicians and researchers are relentlessly working together to turn powerful science into life-saving new cancer treatments. Learn more at cityofhope.org. It's Dodgers-Rockies, and the Dodgers, they've been dominating. Close games, but dominating.
It was a long one last night, but they got the victory.
You don't have to tell me I was working hard.
You know, it looked like we were having fun, 4 rows behind home plate, but we were working. They beat the Rockies 4-2. Turner 2-for-4 with an iconic home run because it landed in a guy's nachos. Had 2 ribbies. Zach McKinstry, another home run.
It raised a real hullabaloo.
So, Zach, you lead the Dodgers in home runs. Talk about it. Well,
I hit it, and it went out.
Leading the team in home runs.
But you didn't splash a nacho tray, did you, Zach?
Corey Knebel to win in relief. Kenley Jansen saved number 3. It's a little sketchy. It's a little sketchy.
Hey! You shut up! You shut up! Shut up!
Glorious tonight. And for the Rockies, Austin Gomber.
He's not somber.
Gomber!
He's not somber, Matt. He might be after this game. You heard that Araza Rainer guy. He was like, they're like, why do they hit so many home runs off you when you play these guys? I don't know. Is it Dodgers? What do you want? David Basset's got Matt Camp, Matt, in the very next segment.
Your friend?
When's he coming on in the pregame, Cates? 6:45?
Matt Camp? Exciting.
I mean, Cates will have some good stuff, too.
Well, have them highlights. He's going to have the nacho home run.
And all the highlights he didn't give us.
Here it comes. He's going to have highlights of the nacho guy talking to Fred, Rodney.
Replay the McKinstry.
Absolutely.
Zach!
What's it like?
You spit. But stop.
AM 570.
Broadcasting from the heart of Los Angeles. Your official home of the L.A.